says, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him into our heart, and getting new life. I was just thinking as we were singing that, I wasn't thinking that. I'm hungry, but that's not my stomach. But I was just thinking as we were singing that and singing about life, that today being Mother's Day, and our moms gave us physical life, right? Birthed us, and how the Lord has given us that new life, the abundant life. You can all be seated. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Moms-to-be, spiritual moms. You know, God has a mother's heart. He has a very nurturing and affectionate heart. Everything that's in God is that he's released into both the male and the female. Matter of fact, why don't we just do that now, Lee? I asked Lee if he would just give a blessing over our moms this morning. Are you? Would you like to receive a blessing?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You can come up here. Come on up.
I was thinking obviously about my mother and everything that she has sacrificed for me, and she raised me by herself, and it wasn't easy for her. I was one of these trying kids that liked to push the envelope, and I did a few times, and but nonetheless, my mother was what a mother is. And I was reading, and I was thinking about her as I was reading this from Proverbs 31. And it talks basically about the relationship of a wife to a husband. But I found a lot of characteristics in there that in that scripture that really speaks to a mom and the sacrifices that a mom makes and the strength that a mom has to have. So I just thought I would read this because I had rather just read what God has to say about it as things that I could probably make up or say. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work. She rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. Any moms can identify with that? How many late hours have you spent up? She's skilled in the crafts of the home and the hearth, diligently in homemaking. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows because she's already prepared for it. Whatever eventualities, she's already given thought to it, and she's made preparation for whatever can happen to protect her family. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. And she faces tomorrow with a smile. I can look back and look, see all the smiles my mom had, but probably some of the grief that I called her and she caused her, she still smiled. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she says it kindly, but she also speaks with authority in that kindness. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household. She keeps them all busy and productive, and her children respect and bless her. And it ends in Proverbs 31:1, says, charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God, or in the respect of God, I'd rather say, and give her everything she deserves festoon, cover her, elate her with praises. Moms, real moms, the ones that stand in authority and yet, you know, because of that, her children grow up to respect her and to love her. It's not always easy. So, Father, right now, I just lift up every mom that is here today. Father, the wisdom that you have given them, Father, that they speak over their children, over their families, Father God, that, and for the love, for the smiles, Lord, for the words of encouragement that they give their families. Father, I just bless them today, Father, with continued wisdom, continued understanding, perseverance, standing with her family. Father, being the light, being the beacon, being the direction. Father God, speak so much to who they are. Father, and I just ask your blessing upon them in this day. In the glory and the authority of Jesus, we stand here. And we are who we are because that's who you say that we are. And Father, bless them. Amen.
And thank you, mothers, for all that you do and all that you are. You know, when we just look at our own nation and culture, where would our culture be without moms? Because way too many dads have already are AOL. In the last sentence of the Old Testament, Malachi prophesied that there's a curse on the land, I'm paraphrasing, because of fatherlessness. And the spirit of Elijah was God was sending the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children of to the back to the fathers. I love sports, and it's interesting to me, especially I've seen this even more, I guess, with football, that how many great football players I've heard talk, and they didn't even have a dad at home, but they had a strong mom and propelled them on to greatness. I saw you in the paper this morning, Salvador Perez praised his mom. I don't know much about him, you know, plays for the Royals, a catcher for the Royals, and really owes a lot to her for his upbringing and for him being even the MVP of the World Series, and it's just incredible. Thank God for moms. Amen. And really, I think, you know, I don't think I'd be stretching this, but in a really real sense, they're holding our culture together. But it's also time for fathers to rise up. Amen. Not only natural fathers, but also spiritual fathers in the house. Amen. Well, there's a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot of negative things happening. We've got the most interesting political season that we're in. Our nation is reeling. There's all kinds of things happening. And there's a lot to, if we want to, which I don't want to, is look at all the negative and get very, very concerned. But I'm preferring, and I want to encourage all of us to really see what the Lord's doing and have eyes to see what he's about. And Wednesday, I know several of you were here, quite a few, probably half of you that were here when Scott Nutter was here with us from Faith Comes by Hearing and the Jula Language Project that we've been involved in. I started kind of connecting some dots here because I started thinking about what Scott said. And for those of you that haven't heard yet, you should have probably because even on Facebook. But the Jula Language Project is completed and it's published. It's out there. However, the financial part of it's not completed. And I'll explain that part. There's still about just under $13,000 left for that. But when Scott was here the last time a few months ago, I don't remember the exact date, and Eric and I had lunch with him, he made this statement. This is how I was starting to put the dots together. He said, because the Sending Project was going to do a golf tournament, And Eric asked that if we could do, I don't know why he asked, when it had to do with money and he wanted to give towards his Julep language, he said, how about half of the money that we raise for the golf tournament go to the Julep language, another half was going to go to something else. Are you okay with that? I said, yeah, I'm okay with that. So anyway, we're talking with Scott from Faith Comes By Hearing about that, and he said this. He goes, I don't think you guys should do that. He said, because it's going to be done before June. June was the golf tournament. It's going to be done before June. And I'm like, really? You think so? And Eric, we were just like, thanks. See, he knew some things that were already in the works that he wasn't able to say. And what happened, and even when he was here, I don't know if you remember, I know this last Wednesday he mentioned it, the word fast track, but he mentioned that word the last time I met with him too. He said the Julep Language Project is fast tracked. Well, he never explained that, and I didn't really ask him what he meant by that. But even when he was here the last time when we kind of launched this whole thing, that they already had a team ready to go, and the team was active in the Ivory Coast, and they were putting, you know, people in places, people in the right places. And I forgot now the country that this team came from, but they went into the Ivory Coast, and most what they do is they look for certain people, the man of peace, they look for people they can work with, and they begin hiring people, and they have to hire highly educated people, more highly than the normal people there, because they have to be able to read, obviously. They have to be able to read the Bible that's already been translated in written form so they can record it. And so they begin looking and finding people to do this. And typically the ones that can read are a little bit higher educated. And from what I understand, the majority of the team, and I don't know how many people were on the recording team, but the majority of them were Muslims. There's a very small, matter of fact, the Julep people, there's 95% of them are Muslim, so I'm not even sure if there's any Christian witness there at all. But anyway, they hired mostly Muslims to do this, and Scott was telling us that they were working at night because many of them were afraid to do this during the day so they wouldn't be seen what's actually going on and what they're involved in, what they're doing. So they would have been recording the Bible. Then it's just the New Testament. At night, and then this is just crazy stuff to me. And it shows the power of the Word of God and why the Word of God is so important, both written and the audio version, to get it into everybody's hand. That just when the guy, the Muslim that was reading Jesus's part in there, Scott said he just stopped in the middle of it and just said, "This is real. This is real. I want to follow Jesus." And so they prayed with him, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and now they're on a discipleship path with this guy. And, it's just an amazing. And they weren't witnessing to him. They were just reading the Bible. See, that's why it's important, and one of the reasons why we did the reading program, too, of just reading the Bible, getting other people that don't know the Lord just reading. The Word of God is powerful by itself. That's why it's so important. And then being part of the Great Commission and getting the Bible. I mean, we have the Bible, we've had access to the Word of God in so many different flavors and colors and, you know, size of print and everything else. We can order one with whatever book binding and color we want. But there's many people in the world that have zero access to the Word of God. And we got to play such a significant part of helping them, because the majority, and I forgot now off the top of my head, people there can't read. So even if they were given written scriptures, they wouldn't be able to read it. That's why the oral translation is so, so very important. And the Word of God can do its work, you know, just mightily and powerfully. Did you have something? I thought I saw your hand.
I was just saying that that fellow that you mentioned was the reader for Jesus.
Yeah. And then Scott also, and if you haven't seen it yet, he presented us with a plaque, a picture, and it's hanging on the wall out there. And I wasn't even expecting this, but this is one of the proclaimers we've talked about. There's a couple different sizes. This is a solar panel, so it can be charged where there's no electricity. And this is the larger proclaimer, but he presented this to us on Wednesday. And this is the Bible that we helped translate. That's a cool language. I like it. Now, can you imagine people that have never... Let me shut this off. Yeah, it's just going, man. See, the Word of God just works by itself. You just can't shut it off. No, I'm just... It went off. But can you imagine people that have never heard the Word of God, all of a sudden they start hearing it in their own heart language? I was in a luncheon this last weekend, or last week on Tuesday, and there was a ministry, I'd never heard of it before, that is working in Algeria. Algeria is North Africa, mostly Muslim. Most all of North Africa is Muslim. They're in the 1040 window. And this guy that was speaking was a Muslim. He gave his life to the Lord about 25 or 30 years ago, if I remember right. And he just shared story after story after story of how Muslims are coming to the Lord. We've all heard about the dreams and the visions, but there's miracles that are happening and people getting healed and coming to the Lord. I mean, he just shared some incredible... So the Lord is just so active, and people are really working. And then one of the things I really like, because this was so ecclesia-minded in Algeria, was, you know, it's illegal to lead somebody to the Lord, a Muslim to the Lord, and Christianity had been pretty illegal there. But now the government has changed their mind and has allowed the church to function and operate a little bit more in the public, and they're not as persecuted as they were before, and so we're seeing that governmental change as well. Isn't that fascinating? It's just so good. So, and these are just a couple stories, but this kind of stuff is happening, and you know what? There's things happening we'll probably never hear about. You know, they're working, and God is moving, and that's the things that we want to be focused on. Those are the things. What God? What are you doing? Where are you active? And what do you want us to do? And be part of that. Because while the world is being crazy, the kingdom of God is advancing. All through history, there's been nothing, even the dark ages, has not been able to stop the advancement of the kingdom. And we need to stay focused on what God's doing in the kingdom. We also have the Team Extreme events going on. We did our last two school assemblies this last week. And Matt is holding up some flyers. We have some flyers for information, too. You know what? You can invite some friends to this, too, if you want. We've kind of focused on the four schools, but if you would like to, it's all completely free. If you would like to invite some people, some friends that you know that don't know the Lord specifically, you're welcome to invite them to this as well, to see Team Extreme break things and blow things up and then share the gospel as well. But I just want to share a quick story. We were at Luff Elementary on Thursday, and out of all four schools, I'd never seen this happen, and it was just kind of motivated by the kids themselves. At the towards the end of their assembly, what they've been doing is ripping phone books in half, and they get a teacher as a volunteer, and she can't do it, and they take her back and show her how to do it. Well, anyway, what they do with the phone book is they say that this phone book represents all of the lies that have been spoken over you and the lies that you've spoken. And we're going to rip these lies up so they won't affect you for the rest of your life. They won't affect you and keep you back because you want to be able to do what, you know, you have great things to accomplish, all of this. So they explain all that, and then they bring the teacher out. Some other things were going on. They bring the teacher out. And they showed the teacher how to stand there, and she there was a female teacher. She put the phone book on her knee, and all of a sudden, the kids by themselves started chanting, "No more lies, no more lies." I about started crying. It was like the coolest thing, no more lies. This teacher was pretty funny, too. But anyway, she ripped it up. And so even though they're not being able to share the gospel right in the school, it is having an impact on the kids. I've talked to all four of the principals. They've really, really liked it. Said the kid, this was just a great assembly. So we have one more week. Next Saturday is the main event at Chrisman High School. So if we can continue to be praying for that as well. Not only that people will show up, but our hearts would be opened, eyes would be opened, and people would receive the Lord. Amen. Also, we have another doctor in the house. There's another doctor. Vic. Dr. Vic graduated yesterday. So if you have any sniffles, you can see her. She'll lay hands on you and cast those sniffles out. Congratulations again. It's a great accomplishment. Dr. Vic. That should be like a TV show. Dr. Vic Miracle Woman. Has possibilities. It can be done. That's great. Hey, would you turn to in your Bible, if you have one, or if you want to do the thumb thing on your electronic gizmo, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to continue today. I don't know how far we'll get, as usual, on the series on the Holy Spirit, but we've been specifically speaking about tongues, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, of speaking in tongues. I want to talk about the, because there's different uses of speaking in tongues. And I mean that there is a private use of speaking in tongues, where it's just you and the Lord, it's individual. There's a public use of speaking in tongues, which is like in a group like this. And then there is a specifically, and you see this in 1 Corinthians 12, a gift of speaking in tongues that is joined with interpretation. And so I want to get into all three of those. We probably, I don't even know if we'll get past the first one. But the first one I want to talk about is the private use of tongues. But before we get there, I want to keep going over this, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an immersion in the Spirit of God, is not a baptism in tongues. It is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Speaking in tongues is part of what comes along with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the main emphasis is Holy Spirit power. It's Holy Spirit power to fulfill what we call the Great Commission. I kind of prefer the word mandate, doesn't really matter, to fulfill the Great Commission that God has given us to go into all of the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men, healing the sick and raising the dead and cleansing the leper and casting out demons. So the baptism of in the Spirit, that's immersed, to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what God has called us to do. God is so good to us, he's so faithful to us, that he doesn't just say, go do something. He always equips us to be able to do whatever he's asked us to do. If he's called you to be a janitor, if he's called you to be a trash collector, if he's called you to write books, if he's called you to be a lawyer, if he's called you to be a doctor, whatever God calls us to do, that's not who we are, by the way, but calls us to do, he always equips us to be able to do it. But we must do it by faith. And when we do it by faith, we just trust him. Even if we feel like we can't, we have to go beyond how we feel about it and just believe what God says about it and begin to step out and do what he said to do. And we receive that grace enabling power to do what we cannot do on our own. So God will never ask you to do something that he doesn't equip you to do. Never. Thank you for that one amen. I think that was Sandy's voice. I think I recognize that. I'm going to write that down, by the way. Before we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's remember this. The whole book of 1 Corinthians was written for what purpose? Very good. Dr. Vic? Was the Apostle Paul was writing the letter to 1 Corinthians because the church had gotten out of order, it had gotten chaotic, and the whole book, the major theme of the whole book was to restore order, specifically in the public worship service. In the public ecclesia gathering was to restore order. So you have to have that in mind when you're reading the whole book. If you don't have that in mind, it's very easy to pluck things out and misinterpret things. Okay? But we need to remember that. We've talked about this before. This is verse 18. The Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. In verse 5, he said, and this is, let me say this again as well. When in all of the books, it's not the individual that had wrote it. It's not just the Apostle Paul that's writing it. It's the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. It's the Holy Spirit that's communicating the will of God using a man or a woman to do it. And that's the way he functions. He just doesn't come and do things. He wants to partner with us because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he gave to who? The Son of Man. So he's given us authority over the earth, but for God's will to get accomplished in the earth, he has to join with us. And we get the privilege and the honor to join with him to bring his will, to see his will get accomplished in the earth. So all of the books, it's not just the Apostle Paul speaking, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. Verse 5, let's just take a look at this again. The New American Standard, I don't know what other faulty language you're reading from. Other language from the Bible that you're... Sorry. I'm really not sorry. I misspoke. Verse 5 says, "Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues." That's a very weak translate. The word wish there is very weak in the English because we use it... It's like, you know what? I wish the sun would come out. It's not like we use that word like it's not like a bit. It doesn't have a lot of authority on it a lot of times. You know what I mean by that? It doesn't have a lot of emphasis. You know, we almost, instead of saying I wish, we sometimes say, well, I would like for this to happen, or I would like for that. And it comes across, I don't know how you receive it, but it comes across like Paul saying, you know, I'd like for y'all to speak in tongues, but it's not really any big deal. Let's keep talking. But that's not what that word means. That word means, in the Greek, the word he that was translated there means I desire. I want. So take it this way. The Holy Spirit is saying, I want everyone to speak in tongues. That's what the Word of God says. I desire, it is my desire, it's the desire of the Father that every one of his people speak in tongues. When we are talking about the Holy Spirit and functioning and working with the Holy Spirit, there's one major word that comes to mind of how we are to function with the Holy Spirit, and it's the word yield, that we are to yield ourselves to him. Yield. What does that mean? We give him the right of way. He leads, we follow. When he's moving, we yield to what he's doing, what he's saying. For the Lord is saying that he's developing quick response teams even now. Too many people, just like luggage in an airplane, are carrying too many baggages and it's costing you extra money. You need to release some of your weight and some of your bags because you need to be able to shift and to move and to change directions quickly. That's going to mean that we'll have to get out of our patterns and routines from time to time and not to be stuck, for he's developing quick response teams, and we need to hear him and move with him quickly. So it's yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's yielding to what he's doing and what he's saying. You know, most of you, probably all of you know, I was on a trout fishing trip, and it's an annual trout fishing trip that I've been on the last 3 years with a handful or two of some other leaders around Kansas City. This year there was 10 of us there. There's different denominational backgrounds. There's a Presbyterian man, there's one or two Baptist guys. This year we had a Catholic guy with us that really, I've been calling him a charismatic Catholic. I think he is. I don't know for sure, but he definitely is open to all of that and to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we have some charismatic guys and just a, you know, a variety of different beliefs and understandings. And I always try to be very careful because I know that, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit means one thing to one denominational person, means something completely different to somebody else. The speaking in tongues means something different. And so I always try to be very careful with that. And when I'm in those kinds of situations, and if I have something in tongues, if I don't have the interpretation of it, I just don't give it. And I pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues quietly so they can't hear me. But we're at dinner one night. And this year, it seemed like our great conversations happened around dinner. We were 10 people around a round table. And I've known, I was sitting next to a one of the Baptist pastors, and I've known him for 4 or 5 years now. And I don't even remember what we were talking about, but we all of a sudden we kind of changed and got off the top on the topic of tongues. And I hadn't even said anything yet, and I don't know, like I said, I don't remember how it came up. And here's what he said. He said, you know, I've got a lot of charismatic pastor friends. And I began to see that all of my seminary training and everything I was taught about the tongue, speaking in tongues, isn't right. I began to see that in the Bible, it's legitimate. It is talking about speaking in tongues, and I'm beginning to see that more and more. And then he said this. So I've been telling my congregation that. Is that the coolest thing? Yeah. This is a well-established 100-year, maybe a little bit over 100-year Baptist church downtown Kansas City that he took over several years ago, and he's getting understanding of the speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, although he didn't use that phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I told him, I said, man, I am so proud of you for doing that. I said, because when the Lord begins to reveal truth to you and revelation, you're now responsible. You're now responsible to teach, in your role, you're now responsible to teach it whether your whole congregation walks out or not. I didn't say that part, but that, yeah. But it's the truth. If it's the Word of God, see, the Word of God's so powerful. I want to keep saying that. And it can do things that preaching sometimes can't get done. The Word of God, just people reading it or just hearing some truth getting out there, the word is so powerful, and it has to be our standard for all truth. It has to be our standard for all truth. There are so many people, there are so many Christians today that are floundering because they haven't held to a standard. You know what I mean by a standard? That's the equal that what we see all this, we hear all this, even our experiences have to be defined through the standard of the truth. There's lots of doctrines that have been started by experiences and experiences that are incorrect, and sometimes our experiences, and sometimes the way we define or understand our own personal experience doesn't line up with the Word. We have to be people of the Word. We have to define things by the Word of God. Amen? Is that making sense? So we had this little conversation, didn't last really long, but it was pretty interesting. And the charismatic Catholic guy, I'm just terming him that because I don't know what else to call him, because he was definitely different for a Catholic guy. He said, you know, and he's over all of the education for the Catholic diocese on the Kansas side. And I was like, man, this is just really cool. He says, when I do youth camps and stuff for the diocese, I just tell them at the end, I said, now, if you want healing, you meet over here in this group, and if you want to know some more whatever doctrine or whatever, you meet over in this group, and if you want to speak in tongues, you go over here to this group, and I'm like, right on, I can partner with this guy. This is really great. And so the last day, Sunday, so it would be a week ago today, Sunday morning, we went back to the river to do a little bit more fishing before we left, and I didn't feel like fishing anymore. I was done, and so I sat on the bank with another man that I've known for a few years, and he had been and still is very, very interested in Ecclesia. Took my book. He's bought several, handed them out. So we're sitting there on the bank, and we talked for quite a while these guys were other guys were fishing, and we got into conversation a little bit more deeper about Ecclesia. And so I was explaining some things to him. We were specifically talking about prayer, legislation, and decreeing things. And this gentleman's Presbyterian. However, since I've known him, I've always thought that maybe he's baptized in the Holy Spirit just by our. You know, sometimes when you talk with people in conversation, you're around people, it's like, they're either okay with it or they might be, but you don't really know, kind of thing. So we're talking and I'm sharing some stuff, and right in the middle of our conversation, he goes, so where does tongues fit in this? And I said, right in the middle. It's like right in the middle. So I was explaining how that kind of functions, just real short. And then he said, and the reason I'm saying this is not just to tell you what happened there, is maybe that this might help some people. That he said, you know, I kind of thought I was baptized in the Spirit, just him speaking, and I kind of thought I was, could, you know, was speaking in tongues. But he said, you know, when I was praying, he said, only one really word kind of came, and he spoke it for me. And he goes, so I just quit. I didn't know what to do. I stopped. And this man's in his 70s. And probably not too many people in the Presbyterian Church knows how to help him anyway with this, but I don't know what, you know, from his congregation where he's from. And I said, well, that's it. And just like I did a few weeks ago here, I said, you know, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just a tongue. Sometimes I think people freak out on the word tongue. It's language. God is giving you another language. So I said, it's like if you were learning to speak French or Spanish. I said, if you never spoke that and you go to class, your teacher may make a funny sound, but it's actually a French word. But you had never heard of it before. And then she wants you to repeat that word. And then she'll tell you later what the word actually meant, maybe. But you're just repeating. Because language, the spoken languages are just sounds. Aren't they sound? They're just sounds. So I said, when you hear something in your spirit, you'll hear just a sound. Just say the sound. Even though it sounds weird. Even though you don't know what it means. I mean, I took several Spanish, I mean, I'm almost afraid to admit this because I can't speak Spanish, but I've took several Spanish classes. And that's the way it was for me. It was like, and then, you know, several classes into it, they may give you a couple words. And you may be just, you know, mouthing out or giving sound to the vowels. And then the consonants. Because why? You're learning a whole other language. And I said, what you just said to me, that's it. I said, just start there. Just start speaking those. So, and maybe that's happened to some of you. Maybe you've just heard these sounds, but you didn't know what it was. See, the Holy Spirit, when I'm sitting in a class to learn another language, the teacher doesn't come and say, Joe, open that mouth and keep moving it. Right. No, they suggest. That's why the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives us the utterance, which really means it gives us the words, gives us the sounds, and then it's our responsibility to speak the sound that we're hearing. And when I started when I first started taking Spanish, all I knew was some sounds. And then I learned how to say some words, but I didn't really know what those words meant. And I mean, I could always say taco, burrito, enchilada. That was easy. But, you know, learning to say these words and then put sentences together. My point in this is as you practice and as you're spending time, your vocabulary will increase. There's no difference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and learning a whole other language, but you have to keep at it. Now, the whole time that you're working this out, your mind is going to mess with you because the enemy's going to try to shut you up because he knows that this has got a ton of power to it. It's got a ton of authority to it, that you're aligning yourself with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has given you exact words, and he knows that God's words get accomplished. We could pray all kinds of weird things and our own desires, and they won't necessarily happen. But when we start hearing what God is saying, and we're saying what God is saying and speaking in these other languages, we're yielding ourselves to his authority and his power, and we're giving voice to what the Spirit of God is saying, it will destroy the domain of darkness. And he knows that. And he'll do whatever he can to keep you confused, keep you misunderstanding, thinking you're doing baby talk, thinking that it's worthless, that it's not scriptural. And he's been successful to a great deal, not just here, but all over with the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and also speaking with tongues is extremely powerful. Did you know that speaking in tongues was prophesied by God in the Old Testament? It was prophesied by God. God said that he was going to release a new language. I'm not going to spend a ton of time with that, I don't think, but it's Isaiah chapter 28. And he also, Paul, matter of fact, let's just do that, because it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, since I already got into that. But when we're speaking in tongues, when we're speaking in other languages, when we are yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, and we're giving voice to the words, we are aligning ourselves. We're aligning our spirit to his spirit. It's spirit to spirit communication. The Bible's very plain about this. We'll look at this too, that when we are praying in tongues, it's our spirit is praying. Hello. I know for some this might sound a little weird, but that's the truth. Our spirit is giving voice, and it is praying. Where did I say? What was it? What were we going to look at? Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. Let's just back up. I got out of order with this, but since I brought it up. Well, no, I didn't want you to turn. You can if you'd like, but Paul, in this letter, in the chapter 14, quotes Isaiah 28. So, sorry, that's what I meant. He makes a quote from Isaiah 28 in chapter 14 in context with speaking in tongues. But let's start with verse 13. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue, another language, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, oh, here's the verse. My spirit prays. Is that like the coolest thing? If I pray in another language, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. Here's my answer to those that have a real problem with praying in the spirit when they don't understand what they're saying. You're supposed to not understand what you're saying. That's biblical. Unless God decides to give you the interpretation. I could probably count on one hand maybe two, that God's ever given me an interpretation of my own tongue. I don't know. And you know why that's a cool thing too? Because our whole life with the Lord is going to require faith. Faith. That we just trust the Lord. For if I pray in a tongue, verse 14, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm saying. That could sound weird to somebody for the first time. I understand that. But it's supposed to be that way. Spirit to spirit. Verse 15, what's the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, talking about speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, and I will pray with the mind also, or my heart language, my native tongue. I'll do both. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Now, remember what the letter of 1 Corinthians, he's restoring order in a chaotic service. So most of it is what is to be done in a public setting. He says, otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you're saying? For you are giving thanks well enough. Did you hear that? If I wanted to give thanks to the Lord and I said, the Bible's telling me that I'm giving thanks well enough, but you guys had no idea what I was saying. Neither do I. That's normal kingdom on earth living. Verse 16 again, otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you're giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. Edified. The word edified. Who could tell me what the word edified means except for Dr. Vic? I'm just teasing. I just had to throw that in. Anybody? Built up, strengthened, what? Lifted up, built up, and strengthened. That was his main concern when we come together as a body, that people are edified, they're built up, and they're strengthened. But if I just preach the whole message in another language, that doesn't build everybody up. I will be built up personally, because a personal use of speaking in tongues builds my spirit up, but it doesn't do anything good for the hearer necessarily. Verse 17, for you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person's not edified. Verse 18, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. He thanks God that he speaks in tongues more than all. What? What is that? I mean, the emphasis that speaking in tongues is important, it's valuable. Verse 19, however, in the ecclesia, I desire to speak five words with understanding so that I may instruct others rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Verse 20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Verse 28, this is the quote. He now pulls in a prophetic statement by Isaiah from Isaiah 28. It's in the law it is written. Let me just say something about law, just for clarity's sake. That it was very common then to say, make a statement to say, in the law, meaning the Old Testament scriptures as a whole. You might see it, Jesus used this particular phrase that I'm getting ready to tell you, and you might see this in the New Testament, the law and the prophets. So when you see it's written in the law and the prophets, that was another way of saying it's in the Old Testament, it was said this. So when it says law, I know there's like a lot of teaching about law out there today, and people get freaked out when you use the word law, but it doesn't mean just God's, you know, some legalistic or restrictive, you know, rules and regulations. So he's talking about in the Old Testament, which I find it interesting that he's actually using a prophetic statement from Isaiah. You following me? So in the law, in the Old Testament, God said this through Isaiah, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people. Even so, they will not listen to me. What's he saying? Well, if you go back and read Isaiah 28, you read the whole prophecy. Israel was not heeding the prophetic words from the prophets. They weren't listening to the prophets. And God prophesied then, it's probably 1,000 years, maybe more, before the day of Pentecost, and said there's going to be foreigners, which are not Hebrew, they're not Israelites, that are going to speak in other languages that God was going to use to speak to Israel. Hello? Did I say that in enough clarity? So way back in the Old Testament, God said that he's going to release a new language to his people and going to use them. That will be a sign. Look at else what he says. Let me just repeat that verse again. In the law it's written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people. Even so, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then tongues are for a sign. What's a sign? A sign reveals something or points to something. So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe. Why would they not be a sign to those who already believe or already baptized in the Spirit or speaking in other tongues? Why would it not be a sign to them? We don't need a sign. We're already there. We don't need a sign because we're already there, but others need a sign. So he's saying, so tongues are for a sign. What are they a sign? God prophesied back in Isaiah. Are you seeing this? This is a fascinating thing for me because I have never really seen this before. God prophesied back in Isaiah that God was going to raise up people that were going to be foreigners, which really meant not Israelites, not Hebrew. And they're going to speak. I think, too, that when you read this without the understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you would just think they spoke another language other than Hebrew. But notice that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, brings that scripture in to further understanding and connects it with speaking in tongues specifically. Not just another known language, but speaking in tongues. And he says that these people are going to rise up and speak a whole new tongues. And these tongues, when this happens, it's going to be a sign. Why? Because it's a sign that points back to the prophetic statement of Isaiah to prove what God had said back then and that Israel had rejected, and he's using another group of people to prophesy and to speak the will of God in the earth. This is just powerful to me. I hope we're getting this. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Who were the unbelievers specifically that were talked about in this verse that Paul just quoted from Isaiah? The Hebrews, Israelites. That's why it's so important that we stay in context with the Word of God, because we'll read unbelievers and we just think it's just typically people that are not born again. It includes that, but let's be specific about it, because he just talked about Isaiah's prophecy that said that the Israelites were not heeding the Word of God, the prophets. They weren't listening to the prophets. And in that same prophecy, God said he was going to release a people that have a brand new language, and it was going to be these people. When that happens, it's going to be a sign. Maybe the people over here might get excited. I'm going to talk to them. I'm just teasing. So then, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe. So when you read the whole passage here of everything Paul's talking about, the speaking in tongues is a language that the Spirit gives, but we don't have any understanding. We don't know what's being said unless God gives us an interpretation. So, but when he uses the word prophecy, he's using it in the context that if we have prophecy, a prophetic word, that will speak that prophecy in the known language of the hearers, so they can hear it and receive it and be edified and built up. So when you see the speaking in tongues and the prophecy, he's using it in two different ways. The speaking in tongues, a language where people don't know, but prophecy in a language that people do know. Because you can use tongues, tongues can be used, and we'll see this later when we talk about the gift of tongues, it can be used as prophecy. Because when tongues comes forth and you have an interpretation in the known tongue, it can be a prophetic word. But Paul's not using that in that context yet. Dear Lord, is it already that late? Okay. Let's go celebrate moms. How about we do that? We can always come back and talk more about that. You guys celebrating moms today? I mean, you're going to have some, put some feed on, get the feed bag out and celebrate and party? Feed bag? Let me just say one more thing. Is that all right? And I'll try to be quick with this. My intention was to read the whole chapter of 14 and look at it, and I got a little going in a different direction. But I just want to release this as a thought, as a truth here, and I want you to take some time. Also, you know, I need to say this too. I think some of you really dig into the scripture for yourself. I mean, you can't live on my revelation. You can't live on another person's revelation. Just gaining revelation or truth from somebody else is a wonderful thing, but it has to become yours. It will not be enough to carry you through times of trial, tribulation, and persecution. When you have it just, well, brother so-and-so said it, my favorite preacher said it. You got to get into the Word and get revelation for yourself and understanding. Okay, that's so important. And you cannot, well, you should not ever believe anybody, regardless of how great their character is, just because they said it. You've got to know it from the Word of God, what out of the mouth of Jesus. Because every person, doesn't mean that they meant to be or not meant to be, are fallible. I'm a great example of that, and can say things wrong. So we've got to get into the Word of God for ourselves. It's got to become us. Revelation, when you have revelation, it actually becomes part of you. And nobody can steal it from you. That's how strong revelation is. If you don't have a truth that strong, you may have an understanding of the truth, but you don't have revelation of it. So 1 Corinthians 14:2, and then we'll leave, okay? Let's start with verse 1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual. I left the word gifts out because the word gifts is not in the original. But especially that you may prophesy. Now this is the verse. Listen to this. This is so powerful. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to who? God. For no one understands, highlight this next part, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Here's another English word that doesn't live up to the strength and the power of the original text. I just invite you to do this. Look up that word mystery. You know, Jesus used the word. We don't have time to, I'm not going to take the time to do it, but Mark 4, he used the word when he said, I speak in parables to everybody else. But he told his 12, but to you has been granted to know what? The mysteries. I don't know what you particularly think of when you hear the word mysteries in English, but here's what the word actually means. It does not mean mysterious, like that which is being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. The word mystery can only be made known by divine revelation. Is made known in a manner. This just gives me chills right here. The divine mysteries, or this word mysteries, can only be made known by divine revelation and is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God. And only to those who are illuminated by the Spirit. That brings a whole different definition to the word mystery. Let me read this verse. You know that when, that's chapter 12, 14. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands. But in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. In his spirit, he is releasing divine revelation at the appointed time. Oh, chew on that for a while. We need to come back. We need to come back to this. One more thing about mystery. In the ordinary sense, the word mystery means something secret, something withheld. In the scriptural sense, it does not mean something withheld or a mystery or some kind of knowledge withheld or knowledge concealed. It means the scriptural significance is truth revealed. Oh man. Oh man. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Are you serious? Oh, my gosh. It's the key word of what, the month? That's coming? That starts tomorrow. Wow. Wow, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. God, I thank you for your mother heart. I thank you for moms. Thank you for your divine wisdom and plan of bringing males and females together, the multiplication, filling the earth. Thank you for your mandate to subdue the earth and to rule over it. God, I pray that our eyes would be open, our hearts would be receptive to seeing this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the relevance, importance, authority, and power of speaking in the other languages that you released to us by your Spirit, Father. God, I pray that we would get into your word and get new and fresh understanding and how powerful it is in this time and in this season. Lord, we thank you for the new month in your calendar that is beginning. Of gaining the revelation and the mysteries being revealed. God, I pray too, and I thank you as well for the releasing of the spirit of Elijah, that those who have their hands to the plow, those that are keeping their focus on the master, are receiving that spirit of the anointing that comes along with the spirit of Elijah in these days. Lord, thank you for the word that you are developing quick response teams in Jesus' powerful, mighty name. Strike teams, for the Lord says they're strike teams. I'm releasing words to strike this area and that area. Don't try to figure it out beforehand or afterwards. Speak what you hear. Glory be to God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Moms, bless you. Enjoy your day. Take full advantage of it. Be spoiled in the name of Jesus. Wow, man. Mysteries.